morning, everybody. This morning I'll be reading from the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 1 to 10. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord, descending from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised. And he said, 'Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you.' So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, 'Greetings.' And they came to him, took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.'" And God always blesses the public reading of his inspired and his infallible word. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. He is risen. He is risen. He is risen. Now you're sounding very religious. So if you genuinely believe that, give the Lord a clap offering this morning. He is risen. He is risen. He is risen. Hallelujah. The resurrection is the public triumph of Jesus, the King, over death, over fear, and over evil. And it births a new people who worship, witness, and walk in his presence. Resurrection Sunday is not a sentimental moment. It's not simply a nice ending to a tragic story. It is the turning point of history. The day the King stepped out of the grave and declared, without speaking a word, that death does not get the final say. And I want to speak to the honest reality that is in this room today and online. Some of us come with faith, but we are tired. Some come with joy, but we are fragile. Some come with questions. Some come with grief. Some come with sin that you cannot shake, pressure that you cannot name, and fear that you cannot explain. Matthew chapter 28 begins not with a choir, but with women who are walking toward a tomb. Not with applause, but with a stone. Not with certainty, but with sorrow that is mixed with love. And into that moment, the King triumphs. Verse 1 says, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb. Matthew is telling you something in that phrase. The first day of the week was dawning. This is not merely a time stamp. This is theology. The resurrection happens at the dawn. A new day breaking in with the resurrected King. It happens on the first day, like Genesis, a new beginning. That is why Christians meet on a Sunday, because we celebrate resurrection every time we meet. We do not meet on a Sunday because it is convenient. We do not meet on a Sunday because we like it. We meet on a Sunday because we are resurrection people. The first day of every week. That's why in my diary, if I showed it to you on my phone or on my computer, my day begins on a Sunday. I will not use an app where my day begins on a Monday, because I need to begin my day in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. I need to begin my week in resurrection power. The first thing I do at the beginning of the week is meet with God's people and remind one another, he is risen. It happens while faithful people are still walking in grief. Because God's greatest work often meets us before our feelings can catch up. These women come to see the tomb. They come to look at the place where hope has been buried. But the gospel is this. They go looking for death and they find life. And if I wonder if someone today here is seeing the tomb. You are staring at what looks like finality, a diagnosis, a family fracture, a closed door, a hidden addiction, a disappointment that you cannot name publicly. And the Lord sent me to tell you today, resurrection begins at dawn. When you can barely see, God is already moving. In verses 2, 3, and 4, we read, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. Do you see how funny that is? Clearly not, because of the silence in the room. The guards who are paid to keep the dead man in end up looking dead themselves. That's funny. You're allowed to laugh. The gospel writers are funny at different times. The living Christ is not trembling. The armed men are. Matthew says that there is an earthquake. This is not drama for drama's sake. In Matthew's gospel, earthquakes accompany world-changing events. Do you notice that the angels roll back the stone and they sit on it? The stone was not rolled back to let Jesus out. No stone could imprison him. That stone was rolled away to let the disciples see in. The resurrection is not God hiding the truth. It is God revealing the truth that his son who was dead is now alive. And there's a word here for the spiritual atmosphere in London and for the private atmosphere of our own lives. When the king triumphs, foundations shake. Powers that looked permanent suddenly look fragile. Things that held us suddenly lose their hold. Some of us have learned to live as if fear is normal, as if anxiety or oppression or shame are normal. But resurrection is the announcement that another kingdom has arrived, and it is stronger than everything and anything that torments you. Verses 5 to 7. But the angel said to the women, do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he is going ahead of you to Galilee, and there you will see him. This is the first message of resurrection morning. Do not be afraid. Not because nothing is wrong, but because Jesus is alive. The angel names the reality. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. Christian faith is not denial. It looks the cross in the face. It acknowledges suffering, injustice, pain, betrayal, and death. But then comes the sentence that changes everything. The sentence that transforms every atom, every moment of time and history. The sentence that reaches all the way back to the moment when God said, let there be light. And all the way forward to the moment when the earth is renewed in its fullness. He is not here. He has been raised. That is the king's triumph. Not he has been resuscitated. Not his influence lives on as a moral example. Not his teaching remains, but he has been raised. And when the Church of Jesus Christ in Western Europe, in this city, in London, in the United Kingdom, loses this reality, it loses its power. It loses its message. The Apostle Paul, writing about the resurrection, said, if Christ was not raised from the dead, then we are amongst all people most miserable. We are those who are should be pitied above everyone else. I can send you not to one or to two, but to hundreds of churches in this city today that will preach that the resurrection is a metaphor, that it is a picture, that it is an idea, that it is a moral teaching. It is a reality. Jesus Christ was murdered on a cross, buried in a grave, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead and he reigns at the right hand of the Father on high. The cross was not defeat, it was atonement. It was not final. It was temporary. Death did not win. It was vanquished by the victory of Jesus Christ. And I love the invitation. Come, see the place where he lay. God is not afraid of your examination today. The resurrection is not a fragile rumor. It is not a I believe it, you don't have to type of thing. It is a factual reality that changes everything. It is a solid announcement. Look at where they used to lay him. It is empty. And then the angel gives them a mission. Go quickly and tell his disciples. The first witnesses of the resurrection in Matthew are these women. Faithful, brave, overlooked by the world then and today, but honored by heaven. God entrusts resurrection news to ordinary women and men to declare around the world. And watch the content of the message. He is going ahead of you to Galilee, not Jerusalem. That matters. Galilee is not the religious center of Judaism. Jerusalem is. What is Galilee compared to Jerusalem? What is Galilee? Galilee is nothing. Galilee is the ordinary place, the mixed place, the messy place, the everyday place. Because the resurrection means that Jesus meets his people not only in sacred spaces, but in the streets and the workplaces and the kitchens and the schools and the studios and the stations of daily life. He meets you on the bus and on the tube and on the train. He meets you as you walk up Oxford Street or you nip into this street or that street. He meets you in your workplace. He meets you as you push a trolley around Tesco's. He meets you as you care for your elderly mother or father, as you drop your kids off at school, as you wait in a doctor's surgery for an appointment. This is where Jesus meets us. Not just in the sacred, because he has sacredized all of life. Kensington Temple, London City Church, hear this. The risen King does not only meet us in a service, he goes ahead of us into London and into the world. Last Saturday morning on the streets of Hackney, we had a team out and evangelizing, and we saw 22 people make decisions for Jesus Christ for the first time. I think that deserves a greater round of applause than that. Yesterday, we had 61 people on the streets of Hackney again 57 men and women who are part of our evangelism ministry, and 5 pastors. And another 36 people were born again on the streets of Hackney yesterday. On the 24th of May, Pentecost Sunday, just a few weeks from today, through until the end of August, we will be running a formatted program across all of our 35 churches now in London called 1,000 Souls in 100 Days. And we are aiming to see 1,000 women and men born again by the power of the Holy Spirit by the end of August. And we believe God is going to do it. Verse 8, so they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy. If that isn't the human experience of resurrection, I don't know what is. Fear and great joy. Sometimes we think faith should cancel fear instantly. But the Bible is more honest than that. Resurrection produces a strange holy mixture. You're still trembling, but you're also thrilled. You're still processing, but you're also praising. For someone today, what I've just said is permission. You don't have to be sorted. You can be healing and hoping at the same time. Jesus doesn't save the finished article. He saves us right where we are, in the midst of our mess, and our questions, and our fears, and our uncertainties. Maybe you are here this morning and you're a guest or a visitor. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us online or here or in our overflow areas. The question is not, do you feel fear? The question is, will you obey in the direction of joy? These women ran to tell his disciples, the scripture says. Their feet moved before their emotions settled. Isn't that often what faith feels like? And then we get to verse 10. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, greetings, and they came to him, took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Verse 9, then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers, verse 10. This is the heartbeat of my message today. Resurrection is not merely an event to admire. It is a person to encounter. Suddenly, Jesus met them. I love that. They're running on obedience, and he meets them on the way. How many times has God met me on the way? Some of you are going to discover this today. When you start walking in the direction of obedience, when you start praying again, when you start worshiping again, when you start turning up to be with God's people again in church or in cell, when you practice forgiveness again, Jesus will meet you right in the middle of your journey. And what does he say? Greetings. It's almost disarmingly simple. He doesn't lecture us. He doesn't rebuke us. He doesn't give us a theological examination. The first words of the risen Christ to these women are relational. I'm here. I'm alive. And I'm with you. And then they do something breathtaking. They take hold of his feet and they worship him. Physical, grounded worship. You can't take hold of a ghost's feet. You can't take hold of an idea's toes. This is not a ghost. This is not an idea. This is the real Jesus. And it is the proper response to the king's triumph. Worship. Not because life is easy, but because Jesus is Lord. And then he repeats the same thing. Do not be afraid. He doesn't just send angels to say it. He looks them in the eye and he says it himself. Because courage isn't the technique. Courage is a person. If Christ is risen, then even if Friday hurt and Saturday was silent, Sunday, Resurrection Day, means you can face your future. You can walk through your grief. You can break with sin. You can forgive. You can hope again. And he adds something astonishing as the worship group come to join me once more. Go and tell my brothers. 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 After failure, after running, after denying, after hiding, resurrection doesn't only defeat death, it restores relationships. The risen king gathers failures into a family. And how glad are you about that today? That means that nobody in this room, nobody online, nobody listening to me today is too far gone for Jesus to restore you. Not in this room, not in this city, and not in the nations that we carry in our hearts in our mission of London and the world for Christ. If you are here and you need a Savior, there is a Savior here who can rescue you, who will this Resurrection Day take all of the death that is in your life, the despair, the regret, the shame, the failure, and the pain, and lift it off your shoulders. All you need to do is ask him. I cannot carry you into resurrection life. No one can do that for you. You must ask for it. But I promise you this today, if you ask for it, he will receive you. And your life can be transformed as you surrender to Jesus. There are declarations over Kensington Temple that I want to make today. Three of them. Number one, the king's triumph means that your worst moment doesn't get the final word. The tomb is not the conclusion. If Jesus is risen, then the Father specializes in turning people who think their lives are over into people who have a future. Number two, the king's triumph means fear is no longer your master. Fear may speak, but it does not rule. Twice in this passage, Jesus says, do not be afraid. Resurrection doesn't remove every challenge, but it removes fear's authority fully and finally. And number three, the king's triumph means that we are sent to our Galilees first, our ordinary everyday places, and then to the world. The risen Jesus goes ahead of us. Resurrection is not an escape from mission. It is the fuel for mission. London needs more than inspiration. It needs Jesus. The world needs more than advice. It needs the risen King. Resurrection must not end as a story that we hear on a Sunday once a year. It must become a reality we receive. So come to the risen King for salvation. If you do not yet belong to Jesus, if you are not sure, then today is your day. The empty tomb is God's receipt that the payment of the cross was accepted. Turn from sin, trust Christ, surrender to him. Pray with me, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for my sins and rose again. Save me, forgive me, make me new, I give you my life. But if you need restoration, then come to the risen King again. If you've been hiding like the disciples because of shame or compromise or distance, hear Jesus' words, my brothers, my sisters, come home. My God restores the brokenhearted. He raises up those whose lives have been bent by sorrow and pain. He does not snuff out flickering lights, and he does not break bruised reeds. Or maybe, thirdly, you need power from God today. This is not simply a celebration of the resurrection. As we gather in Jesus' name, this is an opportunity for empowerment, for transformation. In a moment as we worship, you may need healing, you may need freedom, you may need fresh infilling, you may need courage, or you may need renewed joy. As we worship, the risen Christ is here. He can come and touch your hearts and change your life. In a moment, we are going to respond as we rise to worship. Not performance worship, but feet-holding worship. The worship that says, Jesus, you are real, you are risen, and you are my King. But before we do that, would you bow your heads in prayer with me out of respect to one another? Online, you can contact us because we have a pastoral team monitoring the service and the rooms around the building. We have people that are taking a look to make sure that we can follow up with you. But if you are here for the first time, or you've never surrendered to Jesus, and you know that today is the day that you want to do that, I want to pray for you. I'm not asking you to join KT. I'm asking you a much more important question than that. Will you surrender to the risen Jesus Christ? And if you are going to do that today, then I want to pray for you. So just put your hand up. I will see it and I will acknowledge it, and you can take it right down again. The room is bowed so that you have privacy. Is there anyone here and you have never surrendered to Jesus Christ, and today you want to do that for the first time? Whether you're young or old, just put your hand straight up into the air so I can see it. Thank you, sir. Right on the front row. Thank you, madam. Anyone else? Thank you, a young lady in the middle there. Thank you, a third person. Anyone else? I just want to see your hand so that you can point back and say, on Easter Sunday 2026, I surrender to Jesus Christ. Two, thank you, two little boys. Thank you so much. Precious in the sight of the Lord of decisions such as those. Is there anyone else? That's five people. God's people, continue to pray as we rejoice in what he's doing. Will you come to Christ? Will you let this Resurrection Sunday be a special day where you enter into relationship with Jesus? God, I pray that you will strengthen and keep your people, that you will sustain them, hold them, and help them to follow you all the days of their lives. And for those of us that have followed you for a while, pour out your Spirit upon us again today. Give us fresh strength and help us to rise to serve you in Jesus' name. Amen. Every Good Friday and every Easter Sunday for nearly 40 years now, I have written a brief reflection or a poem. I've never published them. I probably never will. But I want to read what I wrote for this morning. The King's Triumph. At first light, the stone held its breath. Dew clung to the mouth of the garden. Earth carrying the weight of him. Heel, rib, shoulder pressed into clay, and trembled like tilled fields before the plow returns. Women came with the grammar of grief, spices learning their sad names. The birds would not keep still. Something in the hedges had shifted. Death's long sentence was missing its final word. The grave lay open, not robbed, but unfastened as a door for guests. Linen slumped where thunder once slept. Power had passed through silence like fire through green wood. No scorch, only life. He rose, not as a ghost of revenge, but as first fruits, muscle and marrow, dawn heavy with promise. The kingdom did not arrive armed. It stood breathing, asking to be recognized. This is how empires crack. Not by sword or shouted decree, but by love that will not stay buried. By obedience that descends to the pit and returns carrying keys. Hear it. The undersong of creation. Stones practicing hallelujah. Fields loosening their long despair. The poor lift their heads. A table is being set in the teeth of Rome. And his victory tastes of bread and smells of river water and sweat. Wounds are kept, not healed away. As banners of a different reign, power made perfect where power once killed. Now the Spirit is loose in the lanes, seeding forgiveness in hard ground, training the meek for inheritance. This is the work of the risen King, not escape from earth, but earth made faithful. So we walk, shoulders squared with hope, under a sky newly sworn to us. History bends not towards despair, but towards a wounded Lord who lives and will not stop reigning. Church family, the King has triumphed. The stone is rolled away. The tomb is empty. The guards are shaking. The women are running. The disciples will be restored. And Jesus is alive. So lift your head. Strengthen your heart. Open your mouth in praise. And go into London with resurrection hope. The King lives, and because he lives, we will live, and our yesterdays are yesterday. Goodbye, yesterday. Goodbye, yesterday. Hello, today.